Okay, we'll go ahead and get started. Father God, we bless you as we present ourselves to you and give ourselves another opportunity to get an understanding of your word. And we just bless you for all that you reveal to us. And we lift you up for just the wonderful God that you are, the wonderful God that you are. And we know that there is a great responsibility that we gladly accept with humility, and we glorify you in the name of Yahushua, we pray, amen. Exodus 23, and there are some things that I'm just thinking about as we read verse 23, I'm thinking about some things that's happening right now, specifically with what's going on in Baltimore. And there's just a few things that's going on in my mind as far as that is concerned. And so when you look at verse 23, and like I said, I'll make some comments about that, and then we'll, as y'all lead as far as the lesson is concerned. Exodus 23, verse 23 says, "For mine angel shall go before thee and bring thee unto the Amorites and the Hittites and the Perizzites and the Canaanites the Hivites the Jebusites and I will cut them off." And when you look at this, you see the motive concerning this, the reason why Yah was cutting these nations off. You know, you get a lot of people that, because they don't understand how we can be vilely influenced by things that go on in society, you would look at this circumstance here where where Yah is saying, okay, cut off these nations. And, you know, by the way, I believe most of these nations are your sons of Ham, I believe. I believe most of these are your sons of Ham. I believe that they are, but, you know, don't hold me to that because I hadn't actually looked at it, but all signs point to that they are your tribes of Ham, or some kind of way descendants of Ham. But like I said, I'd have to go back and actually make sure 100%. So take that with a grain of salt. And so as you look at it being dealt with here, immediately when he's talking about cutting off these nations, because it's not an issue of color, but it's an issue of nation. And so as he's talking about cutting off these nations, you go to the next verse and it gives us the understanding of why it was important to cut them off, because the minute he says, "I will cut them off," then he said, "Thou shalt not bow down to their gods, nor serve them." Okay, when you look at the bow down, it deals with reverence, and when you look at the word serve, it means from a bondage perspective. You know, so he's saying, don't bow down to their gods, nor serve them, nor do after their works. But thou shalt utterly overthrow them, and quiet break down. And that just means crush in a nutshell. So when you look at quiet, it means crush. Quiet break down their images. And ye shall serve Jehovah Yah, and he shall bless thy bread and thy water, and I will take sickness I will take sickness away from the midst of thee. So when you look at, go ahead and turn that off. Try to cut it on off. So when you look at, I'm going to say it this way. When you look at the divine will for our nation, sickness was not supposed to be among us as a people. Okay? And so when you look at it from that perspective and you see sickness in our nation, then you have to ask the question, why? Okay? Remember there are some things I dealt with as far as, Shirley's funeral was concerned. And I knew before I did it some would be offended. But at the same time, I don't be moved by what the mindset of people have based upon what God tells me to do. I just do what He tells me to do, and I don't think about it from that point on. You know, when he said to me, do something, I don't ask why. I just do it. Because why is irrelevant to me at this point. And so I have no mindset to question Yah for whatever He needs me to do. And so, as you look at this here in Scripture, again, verse 24, it says, thou shalt not bow down. Exodus 23, verse 24. It says, thou shalt not bow down to their gods. First of all, he's talking about cutting these nations off. Then he said, you should not bow down to their gods, nor serve them, nor do after their work. And when you look at it from a perspective of do after their work, it means, you know, their business, how they operate. You know, there's another scripture that tells us, learn not the way of the heathen. Okay? And so he's saying, nor do after their work, but thou shalt utterly overthrow them and quiet break down their altars, completely crush them, break them down, their altars, and ye shall serve Jehovah your Yah, and he shall bless thy bread and thy water. So when you look at bread, it's victuals, food. Okay? Now, as we're getting into this and we're starting to see some things take place, and I'm going to come back to verse 25 because I want y'all to see some things that's happening as a result of this thing now, okay? So, again, he says, and ye shall serve Jehovah, verse 25, your Yah, and he shall bless thy bread. He'll bless your food and thy water. And I will take sickness away from the midst of thee. So when you look at some things that's going on, he's saying that he's going to take sickness away from our nation. But it's ironic, or I'll just stick with ironic. It's ironic how he talks about food and water and then have sickness associated in the same path. Okay, so he lets us know as a nation. He said, okay, I'm going to cut these nations off. And then he reveals to us in verse 24 why he's cutting them off. He said, because I don't want you to bow down to their gods. I want you to bow down to their gods. Not only I don't want you to bow down to their gods, but I don't want you to operate according to the way they operate. Don't do their works. Don't do their works. Okay? Then he says, but thou shalt utterly overthrow them and quite break down the altar, overthrow everything. Now, when you look at their works, the overthrow them and the breaking down of the altars is in association is in association with the gods and the world. So he's saying everything about them, I want you to crush it. I want you to overthrow it. I want you to get it completely out of your lives as a nation. Because, verse 5, and ye shall serve Jehovah your Yah. In order for you to effectively serve Jehovah Yah, he's saying to our nation, there are things you got to crush. There are things that there are certain businesses you can't operate in from a perspective of the works. okay? He says, after their works, by implication, product, business, deed, labor. He said, don't do what they do. Don't do things how they do. Okay? And he's revealing as we continue on in these verses, why? But thou shalt utterly overthrow them, break down, quiet down their images, and ye shall serve Jehovah your Yah, and he shall bless thy bread. We serve him, he bless our food. Now let's come at it from this perspective. We don't, then we understand the state we're in as far as food nowadays. I'm old country boy, and I thank you. I'm telling y'all, Yah is awesome in how he does things. And when you're able to look back on it and be able to see with clear understanding why he did the things that he did, what I'm about to say just blows my mind. I come up at a time frame, I'm a baby boomer, come up at a time frame where I saw what real food looked like. I tasted what real food tastes like. Okay? I had an opportunity to experience some things before this system started tampering with the foods and the water. I know with water, well, you know, obviously got spring water and stuff like that, because you know some things that still do. But I'm just saying from that perspective, I know what a cucumber really tastes like. And I tell my girls a lot of times, I said, the cucumber that you taste in the store now, if I ever got access to a real one and gave you one a real cucumber, the taste of it would blow your mind in comparison to the taste of a cucumber that's in the store. If you had opportunity to taste the chicken that I grew up with, instead of the system getting there, first of all, chickens were nowhere close to the size they are now. You have no breast that look like a, you know, you have breasts that look like a whole chicken almost. You didn't have the leg of a chicken that, you know, looked like a turkey leg. You didn't have that kind of stuff when I was growing up. Because the animals was in their natural state, and we fed them things that was more natural, and so you didn't have the beast that we're eating now and thinking that it's the same thing. That's why, you know, Delana had made a statement. She's like, Dad, you know, it's getting to the point where I don't even like to eat meat. She said, it's just stuff just getting nasty. You're right, baby. All this stuff is getting to the point where it's just nasty. But when you look at what's going on as far as verse 25, well, let me get to the water now. Even as far as the water is concerned, what do they have in water nowadays? Fluoride. What else you see them put in water nowadays? They have fluoride, what are some other things? Do they put chlorine in it? Chlorine in it? That kind of stuff kills you. And so they'll put it in the water to clean up the water, but in reality, what it's doing is killing us. Fluoride is not something. You do some research on fluoride. It's in toothpaste and all that. Do some research on it. I guarantee you change how you brush your teeth. And so all these things are put in the water. And as you see, as things going on here, he's speaking to our nation. He says, verse 25, and ye shall serve Jehovah your Yah, and he shall bless thy bread. He'll bless our bread. He'll bless thy water. And I will take sickness away from the midst of thee. So that tells me that sickness, some sickness and disease is associated with food and water.
I have a question.
Yeah, go ahead.
It might sound silly, but
no,
okay,
it's not silly.
When we go back in the land, will it be, and the stuff that we're supposed to eat, will it be like the fresh kind, like it was supposed to be?
Janice is gonna be so. That's a good question. I'm glad that you asked. And I got so excited just getting ready to text. You know. Oh, my goodness. Let me show you. I can show you better than I can tell you. Let's take a detour from Exodus and go to Genesis. I'm going to show you how it's going to be like.
Right now, it would be very hard to try to find the natural state of any kind of animal that we're supposed to eat in its natural state.
Actually, we're going to go back to being vegetarian. But go to Genesis 2. We'll look at verse 5. Here's how it's going to be. Genesis 2, verse 5 says, and every plant. Because remember, in chapter 1, he gave us everything to eat. We were vegetarians. Man was originally vegetarian. We're going to go back to being vegetarians again. Now, verse 5, it says, and every plant, Genesis 2, verse 5, and every plant of the field, before it was in the earth, and every plant of the field before it was in the earth, and every herb of the field before it grew. Well, let me go back up because this may not be the verse that I want. Let me see. Yeah, it is. Let me see what. Let me make sure. Let me just make sure. I think I'm where. I think I'm overlooking it, but we got time. That's what I like about the way we do church. We and the training school and everything associated, we got time. I think I'm just trying to read too fast. That's why I keep overlooking it. I'm too stubborn. Because it's vitally important to answer your questions, Steve. That's why I got to find it. No, you're not. Not at all. This is what this is about. This is class. And so I want to answer the question. I think it's a good question to ask. Oh, that's what the problem is. For some reason, when I shut my computer down, it will open up another Bible, and when I run scripture references on it, it won't give it to me. I'm there. It's in verse 15. I just wasn't down there yet. Okay, now, I want to read verse 5 and then we'll jump down to verse 15. I knew I was there, but I was just like, okay, it's not showing what I want to show. But I just hadn't got down to the bottom of it yet. Now, Genesis 2, verse 5, it says, I'll just go up to verse 4, or verse 3. Verse 3 said, and Yah blessed the seventh day, okay, and sanctified it. So as you see what's going on with the Sabbath is the seventh day. So when you look at the Sabbath was intended for all mankind because Yah did it. Yah did it himself. He rested on the seventh day. So he made all mankind, or he decreed that all mankind rest on the seventh day, which is the Sabbath. Even in the morning, it's first day, so you have Friday evening dust by this time to Saturday evening dust. That's the Sabbath, Friday evening to Saturday evening. So So Yah decreed this. That's why you see verse 2, Genesis 2, verse 2. It said on the seventh day, Yah ended his work which he had made, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had made. And Yah blessed the seventh day, okay, and sanctified it. When you look at the word sanctified it, he set it aside holy, okay? He sanctified it. He set it aside holy. And when you look at the colon behind the end, it lets us know why. It says, because that in it he had rested from all his work which Yah created and made. And so from that standpoint, that's why when he started to teach our nation his laws, statutes, and judgment, he put that seventh day in there and sanctified it for us to rest on the seventh day. It's just that it's hard for us to do it because we're in captivity, okay, which brings us full circle around when we go back to Exodus. Now we understand why he was saying, get all inhabitants out of the land. Since we didn't get all the inhabitants out of the land and took on their ways, their works, and their gods, now here we doing things on days and we're not able to rest because we're working works, the way of the heathen. And so because we're living in a heathen nation, okay, the United States is a heathen nation. So since we're living in a heathen nation, the heathens don't recognize the Sabbath. So instead, the heathens recognize Sunday, which is really, from a perspective, when you look at the history of Sunday, it's the worship of the sun. Although, you know, we understand we worship the one true Yah even on Sunday, but the Sunday, that's why it's set up on your calendar. It's what? The first day of the week. They know. That's why Friday is at the end of the week. It's a seventh day. Sunday is the first day of the week, not Monday. It's just that we go to work on Monday, but our mind has been twisted to follow the ways of the heathen, because as a people we're disobeying the law, statutes, and judgments of Yah, and so since we're not resting on the Sabbath and actually resting on Sunday, which is the first day, then it got us backward in our ignorance, but it's still causing judgment to come down our nation because we're not obeying the law, statutes, and judgments. And so these things are difficult to do because we're in a heathen nation. We're still in captivity. Most people don't believe it, but we're still in captivity. And so as you look at verse 2 again, it says, and on the seventh day, Yah ended his work, which he had made, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work, which he had made. And Yah blessed the seventh day and sanctified it. He set it aside. He made it holy because he had rested from all his work, from all his work which Yah created and made. And then as you look at verse 4, it says, these are the generation of the heaven and the earth when they were created in the day that Jehovah Yah made the earth and the heavens. Then it says, verse 5, in every plant of the field, before it was in the earth, okay, before it was in the earth, non-occurrence, okay, before it was in the earth, not yet, before it was in the earth and every herb of the field, before it grew, for Jehovah had not caused it to rain upon the earth, okay, and there was not a man to till the ground, but there went up a mist from the earth and watered the whole face of the ground. Okay, now as we skip down to verse 15, as answer Janice's land, and then it shows you where the Garden of Eden is. When you look at these rivers, we've talked about it before. Verse 13 talks about Ethiopia, Africa. The Garden of Eden is in the region of Africa, like all of it is in the region of Africa. So when you look at these waters, where these rivers running into, you have these, you know, Assyria, Euphrates River, all this is Africa. Well, that's what Garden of Eden still is right to this day. Because the scripture does not say it's gone, just that an angel protecting it and nobody's been able to find it. Okay, and so verse 15, answer your question, Janine. Verse 15 says, and Jehovah Yah took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to dress it. Now, when you look at the word dress means to till it. Okay, to work it. Okay, but it's from a different perspective than what we understand now. It says to dress it and to keep it. So when you look at the word keep, it's from a perspective of reserve, you know, take heed, to take care of it now. Okay? Now, as you look at, to answer your question, how this thing is going to be as far as the future is concerned, things grew naturally. We didn't have to plant things, because when we get over to Genesis chapter 3 and you see the so-called fall of man and Adam and Eve sin, then he said, out of your sweat of your brow, you're going to till the ground. You're going to have thorns and thistles that's going to grow up. So things were supposed to grow, or things were growing in its natural state before mankind sin, or Adam's sin, caused all sin to be up on the land, the ground, as well as mankind. And so as you look at how things are going to be as far as the future is concerned, all the water, you know, from what research I've done, it's like an ocean of water underneath the desert. Like the whole desert pretty much is an ocean of water. And the scripture talks about that those springs coming up out of there once we get back in the land. That's how you know we're not back in the land. It's still a desert out there. And so it talks about the spring, fresh water springing up in the desert, going down into the Dead Sea. Dead Sea is so loaded with salt and all that, but that fresh water is going to go down in there and clear all that Dead Sea out. And it says that, you know, animals or fish and all that is going to live in the Dead Sea again. And so all these things are going to happen, bringing us back around to the original intent of Yah, whereas we didn't have to plant something to eat, but everything grew. And I, again, that's why I mentioned earlier concerning, you know, when I was a kid, you know, I happened to grow up at a time frame where I saw things grow. People weren't planting peach trees and pear trees. That stuff was growing naturally when I was a kid. I don't recall seeing anybody plant a pear tree or different type of tree. We just didn't do it. I mean, they grew everywhere. I mean, that kind of stuff grew everywhere. You didn't find people planting that kind of stuff. Within a square mile of my neighborhood, I could find pretty much any kind of fruit you can go find, except for oranges and things like that, because this is not a tropical region. But I'm talking about, you know, apples, peach, plums, berries, you know, pomegranates, all that, pears. Pretty much what you go in the store and get now, that stuff grew naturally in my neighborhood. If somebody, you know, was saying, you know, well, I don't know what a pear tastes like, when I was coming up, we'd look at them like it was crazy. We'd be like, shoot, just walk around the neighborhood and pick up one. There was so many of them, they would be loaded up on the tree, just be falling down. It was too much to eat. I used to sit up in our tree for hours, just so full of berries. I didn't know what to do. Just sitting up in the tree, barefooted, feet all black with berries, or purple with berries and stuff like that. Cause I'd walk on the berries and up in the tree barefooted, just eating berries as many as I could eat. That's the kind of stuff that was happening back then, and you don't see that kind of stuff happening now, because over a period of time you're seeing the effect as far as the land and the things that, you know, the system is doing now with the spraying and all these different things, you know, trying to manipulate the weather and stuff like that for whatever reason why they're doing it. You know, you got different theories on it. You got some people saying they're manipulating the weather to try to keep these droughts from going on, and then you got some saying they're doing it because they're releasing, you know, chemicals in the atmosphere, and that's the cause of people getting sick. It's just a whole lot of theories associated with it. You know, only they know the real story behind it. But all these things are going on, and as a result of it, you see us being in the condition that we're in. And so, Janice, to answer your question, everything's supposed to grow naturally. And that's what's going to happen. When we go back out there in that land, you know, I just kind of tease y'all saying, you know, we're going to be out there eating beetles and stuff like that. That's just a tease because the scripture reveals that Yah has and always will. Our nation wasn't coming out eating beetles and stuff like that. Think about when we came out of Egypt. We came out of Egypt, we had fresh water coming out of a rock. It wasn't no little rock either. Had fresh water coming out of a rock, and Yah always provided for us, and we weren't around there digging up bugs and stuff like that either. You can eat it because the scripture says you can, but we're not going to be sitting out there just barely hanging on kind of deal. Y'all going to take care of us as a nation. And so you see that clearly as them taking care of us now. Now, as we go back to and so that was a good question. That's why I want to take my time to answer. So as we go back to Exodus 23, he lets us know now, 25, he's telling us why. And ye shall serve Jehovah your Yah, Exodus 23, 25. And ye shall serve Jehovah your Yah, and he shall bless thy bread and thy water. Well, look at the water and the bread today, the things that we eat. And we realize that it was through our disobedience from being in our land to the point to where it got us scattered out of the land, and it had an effect it through the whole world system off course. Y'all got to realize this. And so we're sitting here, and again, I'm thinking about Baltimore, so we're sitting here from perspective of saying, okay, look what's going on in Baltimore, all this craziness is going on. And so people are pointing fingers saying, well, it's because all the killings that's going on with the police department and all that. No, we got to take responsibility as a people. We are the reason why all of this is off course. It's just that because we're the reason, we're the one that's getting the baddest of it. Because we're the cause of it. And so when you see things that we're discussing in these verses, we're sinning. So when you walk in the store and you sit there and look at the food, you say, look at the condition of this food. Go back to Exodus and start to look at some things to get an understanding of why all of this is off course. And when we start to realize everything is off course, the preaching is off course, the food is off course, you know, the water is off course, all creation is off course because of us as a nation of people, our disobedience. And what Yah is saying, he's saying, I'm now in a time frame where I'm waking you up as a people and bringing you back to me. Because when you come back to me, everybody else going to line up with me. But until you as a people come back to me, it ain't going to never be right. That's what you have to understand. It's not going to ever be right if you don't come back to Yah and follow his law, statute, and judgment. Can't nobody follow unless they see it in you. Because what Yah is saying to us, look at the verse, y'all. Look at the verse. He says, verse 25, and ye shall serve Jehovah your Yah, and he shall bless thy bread and thy food, and I will take sickness away from the midst of you. Midst of thee. What's going to take place when he starts to take sickness away from not just some of us, but all of us? You think they're going to get somebody's attention? You think other people are not going to start asking questions? And so, you know, one of the things I said when I was a preacher, I keep bringing up Shirley's funeral a lot because it's vitally important to bring about an understanding of what Yah is doing. One thing I said, because I try to use me as a display to show what Yah want to do. So I made a statement, look, I'm 52 years old. Y'all, look at me. That's what I said there. Okay, look at me. What is going on with me that's different from the rest of? Why is it that you can't sit around here and say, well, he got good genes because I got siblings. My siblings right here in the casket. Got the same bloodline that I have. What is the difference from me and her? Well, okay, he exercised. I know a lot of people who exercise. What is the difference? What makes me stand out different than other people who are not doing what Yah said doing? What is the difference? That's the only difference. Ain't nothing special about me. There's nothing about my genetic makeup that's different than anybody else. I just made up my mind that I wasn't going to follow the footsteps of my father, who was a pork eater, who was this year. He died of cancer, and I made up my mind not even understanding who he was as a people. I said, I'm not going to do what my father did in order to get the same results that he got. So I'm not doing what he did. When I found out my grandmother on my mom's side died of cancer, my granddaddy died of cancer, I'm like, wait a minute, something is going on with this. Y'all, I'm not going to do what they did in order to get the results that they got. Now, my mother, you know, our mother, some of you in here, we got the same mother, 94 years old. She would have been gone already. You know what she's on now? A specific diet. But before she got on this specific diet that kept all that crap out of her system, it was killing her. She'd been gone already if she'd stayed on that same diet. Here she is, 94 years old, and there are some things that has happened to her as a result of all the things that she had consumed all those years, even to the point where she got, you know, got a certain age, was still being fed those different things. Now she's gotten out of an environment or work. Folks thought she would have been gone. She out living kids now. Talked to my sister Tonya the other day, and she was saying, you know, stay with May, shoot. Mama gonna outlive everybody. Tonya was like, not gonna outlive me. And that's what Tonya was saying. She's like, oh no, Mama not gonna outlive me. Well, we gotta do. There's a reason why she's still around. The toxins are not going in her body. She's on a limited food. Then I'll tell you something. She was ready to kick up out of him on last breath. But some a few more years have been added because her diet has been changed these past few years. That's a connection, y'all. I'm telling you. The sickness and disease is based upon things that we're eating. You're seeing the same picture as far as our nation is concerned. It boils down to learning not the ways of the heathen. God is saying to us, okay, y'all, I have to tell you this. I love everything on a pig. You can't miss me. I love the feet. I love the ears. I love the chickens. I love the ham. I love the pork chops. You name it. Name it. Fire pants on a pig. I done tasted it before, and it was good to me. Love everything on that pig. Still like how it tastes. But you know what? Yah says, stay away. He said, if you don't stay away, sickness will attach itself to you because not staying away has taken on the ways of the heathen. And I ain't going to back up off of this with y'all because I know what he's doing. So when you look at what he's doing with us as far as the ministry is concerned, think about this important key. We're working on our project to get ready to handle large numbers of people coming into the kingdom. Yah has given us two facilities to be able to do it. And so we have delays as far as one of them that we're working on here in Dallas. Now you know what y'all showed me the other day? I saw and I didn't tell you. Y'all, as soon as I got ready to tell you, y'all said, no, tell it. He spoke to me that fast. I said, no, tell it. Y'all, think about this. I'm going to just tell you a story to get you to see my point. Think about this. What if I'm telling you a story, but you got to grasp it and understand that I mean what I'm saying. So I'm just going to say, what if, just to tell my story. What if Yah is saying there's a specific people, there's a ministry that I want to do something with. And in order for me to do what I have plans for, I need the people within that ministry to line up with what I'm doing. Because when I get the place prepared for them to carry out what I've called them to do, when these people come in, I don't want them to, these people that's coming into the kingdom, to learn the ways of the heathens, because you have people that's in here being a part of the kingdom but yet doing the heathenistic stuff. So if I'm trying to get my people as a whole off on a specific diet again, then what good does it do for me to finish something and I'm teaching these people to do this thing, and I have people who are already a part of this not doing it? They're going to listen, and they're going to go do something else just like the rest of them are listening and going to do something else. Mm-hmm. We got a decision to make, y'all. And it's valid for us to understand that Yah is very serious about what he's doing with us as a ministry. And so he's trying his best. He is going to do it. He's getting us all on the same page because he's trying to get us to understand that you are the symbol by which I'm going to do something in the earth. And I don't need just your preachers to do it. There's a standard that I'm showing. The same way I set the people aside and I start speaking to these specific people and said, don't do these specific things, is because I'm trying to get an understanding in the earth. Because look at the situation we're in now. We're the result of it. And so it's important for us to ask this question. We got to settle this issue with ourselves. Because I settled it with mine. I'm just encouraging you to settle it with yourself. Verse 25. Do you want to operate in sickness or disease, or do we want to operate in wholeness? Because we can't have it our way and walk in it. Y'all not going to let us do it. Y'all not playing with us. And so he's saying to us, he said, I want to do something with a specific people. I want to do something with a specific nation of people. And I want to bring them into an understanding of something by using examples of people to allow them to look and say, you know what? I noticed one thing about that church. There's no sickness there. There's no disease at the church. Nobody's having to do this. None of these things are happening to these people. And the only way it's going to take place is like what the scripture's telling us. We're sitting there looking at our history in order to understand our future. So you get somebody say, well, that's preaching in the shadows. I'm telling you, the shadows are the only thing going to get us where we need to be. Verse 25, and ye shall serve Jehovah your Yah, and he shall bless thy bread and thy water. And I will take sickness away from the midst of thee. See, it won't be. Hear this, y'all. Sickness is not supposed to be in the bodies of not one Israelite. Sickness is not supposed to be there. Sickness is a punishment. It's a punishment. It's a curse. It's part of the curse. That's a punishment. And so if we operating in some form of sickness, that's punishment. We're on punishment. Is you tired of being punished? I know I'm tired of being punished. Okay? So, again, verse 25, then I move from there. It says now, and ye shall serve Jehovah your Yah, and he shall bless thy bread and thy water, and will take sickness away from the midst of thee. There shall nothing cast their young, nor be barren. You know our nation is supposed to be a fruitful nation. We're supposed to have women walking around here, and not even a cow, whatever. Anything that's connected to us is not supposed to be walking around here barren. That's a curse. That's part of our nation as a whole, disobedience, causing things to happen to us as a people. There shall nothing cast their young nor be barren. In other words, you know, you got someone that's no miscarriage. I mean, my daughter here is getting ready to have my granddaughter in a few months. Ain't no miscarriages going up in here. It's not supposed to happen that way to us as a nation. This carriage is going to be nowhere in our nation. Y'all hearing this now? Okay, and then it says, cast a young nor be barren in thy land. The number of thy days I will fulfill. We ain't supposed to be dying here young. Okay, the number of thy days I will fulfill. I will send my fear before thee and will destroy all the people. We ain't supposed to be walking around here being afraid. When the police pull up beside us, pull up behind us, we ain't supposed to be afraid. Fear is supposed to be on other nations. So all these things that we're experiencing as a people, as we're looking at it in these scriptures and we're able to look at it in our day and time, they let us know somewhere we off course. You got Christian folks hollering Jesus, Jesus, and rebuking the devil all day long. Let the police pull up beside him, behind him in the car. So we'll be operating that way. I will send my fear. Y'all say, I will send my fear before thee. Before the nations will hear you coming, and they'll start to fear. I will send my fear before thee, and will destroy, all the people to whom thou shalt come, and I will make all thine enemies turn their backs unto thee. I will make them flee, turn their backs unto thee, and I will send hornets before thee. And shall drive out the Hivites and the Canaanites and the Hittites from before thee. In other words, we didn't have to fight. We get on the same page with Yah. We don't have to do no riot. Yah show people he displeased with how our nation is being treated when we all seek his face and start to call up on him. We would look up hornets and go up in there and run everybody out of there that ain't got their mind on Yah. This is how we supposed to be as a nation. Y'all say, so I'm going to send my heart before you. Here's how I'm going to do it. Before you can get a chance to get down there and fight, I'm going to send bees and hornets and all that down there to start popping them folks and have by the time you get there, you're going to wonder why they running. You can go read scriptures all through the Bible and you see one or two men going in, taking out whole armies of other nations. Two men. All because Yah was on our side. You don't think he willing to do this again? Let us all get on the same page with Yah. I will drive them out from before thee in 1 year, lest the land become desolate and the beasts of the field multiply against thee. He said, I ain't going to drive them out in the hurry. I'm going to drive them out slowly because I don't want the beasts in the field. You know, by the time you get in there, it's full of a bunch of animals and stuff like that. He said, I'm going to leave them inhabitants in there just long enough to the point to where you're ready for that land. Then I'll let you go in when you're ready for it. That's just going to show us y'all ain't going to give us nothing that we don't need. He's not a large enough nation right now to handle all this territory that I've given you, because it's not just the land of Israel, but it's other nations now that's in it. He says, over a period of time, I'm going to let you spread out and get all that land as you're ready to do it. Don't run everybody out all at once. Okay? Verse 30, by little and little I will drive out from before thee until thou be increased, see, and inherit the land. Until I be increased and inherit the land. And I will set thy bounds from the Red Sea even unto the sea of the Philistines, and from the desert unto the river. For I will deliver the inhabitants of the land into your hand, and thou shalt drive them out before thee. Thou shalt make no covenant with them, nor with their gods. Okay? They shall not dwell in thy land, lest they make thee sin against me. And that's what's going on with us, y'all. We're wondering, what's going on in Baltimore? Sin. Sin. Y'all, we got to see this thing for really what it is. We have got to quit blaming the police officers and all this stuff. We got to take responsibility as a people. And so-called black folks don't like it. They get real hot. I put some stuff on Facebook one time from what this guy said. Boy, and it got people all high. I don't agree with that statement. I said, look here, bro, you need to step back. I told the story about, you know, in the writing that I did, but I told him before I wrote about it. I told him the story about my father-in-law, Willie Calhoun. He taught me a principle, and the first time he said it to me, I'll never forget it. We were talking one day. He said, son, he said, let me tell you something. He said, sometimes you have to step back and see your work. He was out there in his yard talking in Florida. He said, you have to step back and see your work. He said, because sometimes, you know, he said, look at them bushes. He said, sometimes you can get too close up on them. And you be heading them bushes. He said, you don't know you got them all crooked down on the end. He said, but you just start going down from one end of the house to the other, them bushes. and you think you got them all even. You don't realize you done start going up like this since you got down here. You done start going back down here too far, you know. And then you get through. You think you've done a good job because you just head them all the way across and finish it. He said, go back and look on the sidewalk. You see how crooked the bushes are. Sometimes you have to step back and look at your work in order to see clearly for what it really is. And that's what so-called black folk problem is. We so close to our work, our mess, that we can't step back and take a look at we the cause of it. And when we start realizing we the cause of it, and we are, because y'all purging us as a nation. It ain't gonna get no better, I'm gonna tell you. It's happening in Baltimore now, that's why it's gonna be happening in Dallas. It's gonna be happening everywhere. And before you know it, it's going to be spreading out to all these small towns. You name it. You watch what I tell you. It's going to be happening everywhere because Yah is dealing with Israel. It's happening in the big cities now. Oh, you wait. It's going to be happening in the suburbs. Been happening. You run down to Paris for a minute. It's happening. And so we have to understand that these things are happening to us because we got things off course. And we right to this day, y'all, we still a stiff-necked, stubborn people. Right to this day. I finished preaching Sunday and people walked outside. I finished explaining everything. People walked outside and the very thing I had spent saying we should do as a nation of people, when 5 minutes after doing it, they were saying the same thing. I said, boy, you tell me we ain't those people. Said amen to every word and walked right out the door with the same mindset. You think y'all ain't going to hold us accountable? Okay, and so this is why he's telling us in verse 32, thou shalt make no covenant with them, nor with their gods. They shall not dwell in thy land, lest they make thee sin against me. For if thou serve their God, it will surely be a snare unto thee. Y'all, that's our problem right there. We get all our people to understand 32 and 33. We got problems solved. We've been snared. Because we're serving the gods of the heathens, y'all. We're serving it. We're bowing down. We're taking on the works of the heathen. We're doing these things constantly. And as a result of it, we're experiencing things. We're experiencing the things that we are. That's what's going on with us. And so people sit there and they'll be like, man, you know, I was watching somebody had put on Facebook, I think 32 people had died in 2004, you know, that was unarmed. Not just died, but 32 unarmed people who were killed, you know, so-called black people who were killed by a police officer. 32. And I'm sitting up here saying, oh, you wait till them numbers start going up some more. Because they're going up. Y'all purging Israel. God is bringing his remnant to the head, and he's going to purge us. He's going to purge us with he's going to purge us, and I'm just naming a few. He's going to purge us with sickness, disease. He's going to purge us with the sword. I'm talking about the sword. It could be a gun or whatever. He's purging us with these things because we as a nation of people is hearing truth or refuse to hear the truth. We're hearing the truth, not lining up with it, or we refuse to hear the truth. And Yah said, I'm going to purge Israel. Now, here's the thing about it. It's happening all over the world. It ain't just happening here in the United States. When you go read stuff that's happening over in places like the Congo and all that, that's us. We're the same people. Don't read about them different areas. See, because it's in Africa, we think, oh, those are Africans. No, that was the Israelites who stuck over there. And they're getting the same thing happening to them over there as we are over here in the United States. It's just that we can't make the connection because we think those are a different group of people than us. They're Africans. We are African Americans. So we're the same people. And the purge is taking place all over the world. And that's what you have to understand. It's taking place all over the world. So when we start looking at this as a nation issue instead of a individual specific named race of people, African American or black folks or something like that, and realize that's the same thing happening to us all over the world. You can go to the Congo, it's happening. You can go to Ghana, it's happening. You can go to certain areas of Africa, and there is so-called a genocide that's happening to Israelites all over the world. We dying every day. We're in the tribulation. Somebody said, wait a minute, what you mean we're in the tribulation? We've been in the tribulation since we fled Jerusalem in 70 A.D. We've been in tribulation ever since. Tribulation is not just a seven-year thing. It is a three-and-a-half-year thing, however way you want to put it. Our nation has been in tribulation since we fled Jerusalem in 70 A.D. We've been in tribulation ever since. Yes.
When I came, I heard Jamaica, and she was saying...
they're Israelites.
Yeah.
If they're from Jamaica, they're Israelites.
And so she was just saying how there was so much going on over there in different areas over there. She was like, they were killing kids, just killing, like, you know, black people, period. And she was like, they wasn't killing the white people. It was just the black people only.
I'm telling you.
And she was saying the dumb part about it was that they were killing people who was coming from different areas, who was moving there. They was killing them just because they was from a different area. We don't realize that they're black. We all the same people.
Same people.
That's what she was saying. The same thing she said. She said, there's no such thing as I'm an African and you know, you American. No, we all black people. And she was like, they're killing the kids. She showed me pictures of them. Actually, it took one little boy and slit his face. His whole face was just cut. And she like, they just did that for no reason.
Israelites. Y'all, think about it, y'all. The same thing that's happening in the streets of Dallas, in the streets of California, you name any other state, we're killing one another. We're doing the same stuff in Africa. We're the people. We're the people. And we're being purged on every, we're being purged. You name it, we're being purged. We're being purged. We're purging one another. The police is purging. You name it. The system is purging. I'm going to tell you something that's going on. I ain't scared. I ain't scared of no devil. I ain't scared of no system. I'm going to tell you that now. Hey, can't nothing touch me that y'all don't want to touch me. That's why I say the stuff as bold as I do. And I ain't scared. And I know they listening right now. And I do not care. Because they can't do nothing to me that y'all ain't ready for it to be done to me. Y'all, I'm going to tell you what they doing to folks. They are taking Israelites. You be careful about putting down on your driving license your organ donor. Because all you're doing is putting down and giving information to let them know that when somebody need an organ, they can come get you. There's so much stuff going on out there, whereas it comes across like it's some positive. I was in a phone conversation with an individual said black doctors are losing their job left and right because they're coming forward saying that they're taking the organs of black people that's coming into these hospitals and different things like that. They're taking their organs and selling it on the black market. Because you have to understand who we are as a people. When you look at us as a people and other nations and things like that, the best organs that can be used are so-called black people. Because you have to look at the original man as being the primary, and so everything that comes after that is a genetic defect. And so since it's a genetic defect, when it defects, then they want to get one from the original. So they don't go out and get a white heart, they go get a black heart. You got to understand what's going on. They're selling body parts, y'all. And so part of the reason why our folks is dying out on the street is because they're taking the organ and giving them to somebody else. It's time for us to wake up as a people and understand that this thing is a whole lot bigger than what we realize, And so you got all these things going on. So all these doctors are losing their job because they're saying this is what's going on. You got funeral homes in the cahoots with it. You got all these folks in cahoots because everybody loves to follow the ways of a heathen. So you got to do it. Give them something. Give an Israelite something they lust for, and they'll turn around and participate with it just like everybody else. You'd be surprised what's going on. They know, these funeral homes know, when they bring a lot of people to the funeral, that they already done had their organs and stuff taken out before they embalm them. They know, but they just keep their mouth shut. What do you think they want to do? Autopsies a lot of times. Because they want to take out all the vital organs and sell them in the black market. I'm just telling on the devil. I ain't scared of nothing. And so that's what's going on. So when you sign up, say, put on your license, I want to be an organ donor, then all you just did was become a candidate on a list so that when they finally need someone, oh, this is healthy. Go get them. This thing is a whole lot deeper than what you can imagine. Everything has purpose associated with it. And so they'll make it look like it's a good cause, and it is in some cases. But all of it ain't got to do with being good. And I guarantee if we had the opportunity to check that list of organ donors, I bet it's more of us on there than it is any other race. Because we the primary. Okay? And so we have to understand what's going on. So, you know, that's why every time I get there, the time I renew my life. You want to be an organ donor? Head to the, no, I don't want to be no organ donor. I went by and had an exam done on me, and the guy come talking about I need to go and see a kidney specialist or something like that so they can start. I'm like, you Negroes out of your mind. Talking about go see a kidney specialist. I go see a kidney specialist and something's going on with my kidney. In other words, all you trying to do is get me sit up over there because you realize that from the checkup that I did that everything was vitally healthy. And so you say, oh, no, you don't have no problems and stuff like that, but let me recommend you this kidney. Say, oh, somebody want my kidneys is what you really saying. I see the devil for what it is, and I call it what I see. Yeah, what you saying is somebody need my kidney. So you want me to go see this kidney specialist so he can start doing the work. Bro, I know what y'all doing. Because the very thing that he was saying I had high concentration of in my kidneys to kind of verify that your kidney is going bad was the same stuff that's in coconut oil. The boy, I'm drenched in coconut oil. Yeah, it's in my kidneys. A little bit more than some because I put it on me every day. I take it every day. So, yeah, I know what's going on with that. So that's the only thing you saying, the reason why I give you... I know what you're really doing. You have a lot of folks going, getting on these treatments and stuff like that because they have a high concentration of something that really could be coming from the diet. Because that's something that they determine as a health issue because you have excess of it. It depends on your diet. If you eat a lot of fish, you're going to have a lot of fish oil content or whatever associated with it. So you turn around and take them and say, well, you got too much of this in here, so it means like something's going on with your health. Did you know that sometimes when they run AIDS tests, it depends on the DNA makeup of an individual that will make them, that will make it read positive or what you've eaten that will make it read positive sometime and then not read positive sometime? There's doctors who come forward and said that. They don't want to tell you that because it's all about the dollar. It's the system. Want to get us all on the artificial drugs that the to keep us away from the herbs and things that's necessary to do the same stuff that the drugs is doing. While it's putting a band-aid on one thing, but it's tearing up something else. We live in a sad world. Y'all raising up somebody that's just tell it and don't give a curl. Well, I'll put it on Facebook and say it how I say it, and it don't matter with me. Let me tell you how to treat this system. Best way not to be concerned about it is don't keep your mouth shut. Because the minute you got information that's private,
you the only one holding on to it, then all they got to do is get rid of you and the information is gone. That's why I leave everything out there. I put it on Facebook, everything I know. Here it all is now.
That's how you shut the devil up. What the scripture said, get on the housetop and tell it. That's what I do. I sit on the housetop and tell everything I know. And so these things are vital for us to understand. And, you know, and so that's why we need to be doing these things. But I've gotten over my time. And my computer just did something weird, so it's time for me to shut it down, I guess. Yeah, so any questions or comments? I know I kind of got off course from the lesson, but then maybe I didn't. Any questions or comments at this point? Nothing, we all good? Yeah, go ahead.
Can you repeat what you said about the DNA stuff?
Well, I'll say it from this standpoint. Sometimes, and this is what you have to understand, sometimes certain things you eat will give you a different reading than the normal. In other words, from this doctor said it's on Facebook. And not on Facebook, on YouTube. So a lot of things they put out there, you know, you don't take all the information for what it is, but at the same time, you analyze things and allow y'all to deal with you to bring you about the understanding of certain things. I don't take everything I hear from everywhere, but I gather enough information to make some sense out of something. And so I know that there are some times, like I'll use this for an example. You can eat cayenne pepper. And cayenne pepper will thin your blood. Okay, that's just one example. So certain things you can eat, it will give you a different reading. I know y'all just showed me this. I explained. How many ever checked their blood pressure? You can check this over 10 times and it have 10 different reasons. Why is that?
What time of day?
Yeah. Sometimes I can be mad. You tell me about blood pressure, you be like, boy, you need to go to the doctor.
Mm-hmm.
Oh no, I'm just mad.
Blood pressure ain't the only thing. Sugar too.
Exactly. A lot of different things. And so what this heathenistic system has taught us to do is to go get a band-aid for everything. They tell us everything. So I ask questions. I'd be like, okay, why is this the standard for everybody's blood pressure? We all built different. Why is this the standard that determines if I'm healthy? Because it's the standard that you set to determine healthy. Why my body structure says I have to weigh 170 pounds to be considered healthy? But when I went on a 60-day fast, went on a 40-day fast and got down to 163, looked like I had AIDS. But y'all call it healthy? Said away from my height and stature should be 170 pounds? I've been 170. I had weighed 170 pounds since I was about 12. It just ain't my body structure. It's too little for me. But yet society set up all these different standards to try to determine if we healthy. So that turn around and give us that reading, and because it don't read according to their standard, then we let them prescribe us something that we ain't got no business taking in the first place. I'm just telling you how things work, y'all. You mean to tell me, now I understand there may be somebody in here who feel bad for whatever reason or another. So my answer to that is, there you go. You mean to tell me you got to do these things based upon readouts instead of going by how you feel sometimes? I know when I ain't feeling good. I know when my blood pressure high. I know when I got some stuff going on. I got enough sense to know what's going on with me. I don't need to go get no readout to tell me. I can sit there and sometimes I get to doing a bunch of stuff, you know, dealing with a bunch of stuff before you know my head hurts. I say, oh, yep. I done got too stressed out, blood pressure all out of whack. Let me go sit my tail down somewhere and relax.
See, I can tell you something, too. A lot of people don't recognize the color of your urine. If your color, your urine ain't used to looking like it always looks, something wrong with you.
The body is designed to tell us a whole lot of things. Yeah. It's just that when we got so accustomed to the ways of the heathen, right, that we let the ways of the heathen tell us how we ought to be. Mm-hmm. And I'm just not wanting to line up with it. So I'd be like, okay, if 212 pounds is comfortable for me and is where I feel at my best, then I ain't going to turn around here and let you tell me I need to weigh 170. And I've been wearing 100, been at 170 before, and I walk around looking like I was sick. Who came up with this stuff? That's all I'm saying. I'm just trying to get up to see how this hedonistic system is designed to take advantage of us, but we've allowed it to happen from the perspective of a whole lot of things. Who came up with all these standards? Who came up with these standards? We have different body structures. Why we got to have the same blood pressure to be healthy? A baby heart bill, you know, I'm just bill a gazillion times a minute. Yeah, my heart don't beat that fast, but the baby's healthy, and I'm healthy. We set up all these standards. We set up a standard for what we call beautiful. We set up a standard for what we call handsome. We set up all these standards. And if somebody don't line up to that standard that the system set up, then you're not that. The heck with that stuff. I choose to follow y'all. Alright? And so I didn't say that for anybody to turn around and do anything and go say, well, I ain't taking no medicine no more and all that because I heard what Pastor said. That ain't what I'm saying. I'm saying that you be fully persuaded in your own mind because I am. And when I start getting stressed out and getting headaches and stuff like that, I'll be like, Buck, go rest and relax and sit yourself down and shut up a minute and go to bed early and just change up some stuff. And when I do, I feel better. Your high blood pressure a lot of times will be because of a lack of sleep. Every time I don't get enough sleep, my head is pounding. Blood pressure's up. But you just need to rest. Okay? That's all I'm saying. All righty. Any other questions, comments? I'm through. Father, y'all, we bless your name for today. We thank you for just another facet of understanding. We just ask you to continue to lead and guide us in all truth, and that we, once the truth is revealed, that we come forward and boldly declare your word, your understanding, the things that you reveal to us. We don't operate in the spirit of fear, but we operate of power, love, and a sound mind. We bless you in the name of our Savior, Yehoshua, who we follow in his steps to bring about your perfect will. We give you the glory in his wonderful name, we do pray. Amen.